Yeah, are you present on call? Okay. Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. And today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela from 18.1 onwards. Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association on the call and enlightening on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, Mataji. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Is everyone able to hear me clearly?
Yes, Mataji. Yes.
Thank you all so much. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. It's always nice to discuss Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the assembly of devotees like all of you. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 18, we are going to cover verses 1 through 32. So it's quite a chunk of verses, but then there are no purports. There is only a limited purport in one place, so therefore we'll cover 1 to 32 today. We'll start with the prayers. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swami Niti Namini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Devitarini. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, as I mentioned, we are covering Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 18, verses 1 through 32. So I hope you are able to see my screen. Can you confirm?
Yes, Mataji.
So this is a very beautiful chapter. This is chapter 18 of the Antya Leela, Rescuing the Lord from the Sea. So it's a wonderful pastime exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the Mangalacharan verse for this particular chapter. Sharajyotsna Sindho Ravakalyana Jata Yamuna Brahma Tavanyosmin Hari Virahata Parnava Iva Nimagno Murchalaya Payasini Vasan Ratrim Makilam Prabhate Prapta Swair Avatusa Shachi Shunurihana. Translation. In the brilliant autumn moonlight, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the sea for the river Yamuna. Greatly afflicted by separation from Krishna, he ran and dove into the sea and remained unconscious in the water the entire night. In the morning, he was found by his personal devotees. May that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi, protect us by his transcendental pastimes. So this is the entire pastime in one verse. What happened to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he was recovered by his personal devotees and how he came back to consciousness. And this very pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should actually give us protection. As we meditate on the Lord's pastimes, those those pastimes purify the heart and they give us eternal protection. They always protect the soul and nourish the soul. So it is always a very good habit to meditate on the different pastimes of the Lord. And especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so compassionate and his pastimes are very uncommon. So as we meditate on these pastimes, the more and more our heart becomes softened and we can take to the process of Krishna consciousness more seriously. Text 2, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eimate Mahaprabhu Nila Chala Vase, Ratri Dine Krishna Viche Dharne Vase. Translation. While thus living in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu floated all day and night in the ocean of separation from Krishna. Sharad Karela Ratri Sabha Chandrika Ujwala Prabhu Nija Gana Lana Bedana Ratri Shakala. Translation. During a night of the autumn season, when the moon brightened everything, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered all night along with his devotees. Udhyane udhyane brahmena kautuka dekite rasa lilar gita shloka padite shunite. Translation. He walked from garden to garden, seeing the pastimes of Lord Krishna and hearing and reciting the songs and verses concerning the Rasa Leela. Prabhu Prema Veshekarena Gana Nartana Kabu Bhava Veshe Rasa Leela Nukarana. Translation. He sang and danced in ecstatic love and sometimes imitated the Rasa dance in emotional ecstasy. Kabu bhavun made prabhu iti uti daya bhumi padi kabu mucha kabu gadilaya. Translation. He sometimes ran here and there in the madness of ecstasy and sometimes fell and rolled on the ground. Sometimes he became completely unconscious. Rasa lila ra eka shloka yabe pade shone purva vatta be artha karena apane. Translation. When he heard Swarup Damodar recite a verse concerning the Rasa Leela, or he himself recited one, he would personally explain it as he had previously done in the previous chapters. So we did see in the previous chapters that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often explain the different verses from the Bhagavatam, especially the Rasa Panchadhyayi. Text number 9. E mata rasa lilaya haya yata shloka sabar artha kare paya kabu harsha shoka. In this way, he explained the meaning of all the verses concerning the Rasa Leela. Sometimes he would be very sad and sometimes very happy. Se sab shloke rartha, se sab vikara, se sab varnite granta haya ati vatsar. Translation. To explain fully all those verses and all the transformations that took place in the body, Lord's body, would require a very large volume. Dvadasha vatsare ye ye lila kshane kshane athi bahulya bhaye granta na kailun likhane. Translation. So as not to increase the size of the book, I have not written about all the Lord's pastimes, for he performed them every moment of every day for 12 years. Purve ye dekha nachi dikdarshana taiche janiha vikara pralapa varnana. As I have previously indicated, I am describing the mad speeches and bodily transformations of the Lord only in brief. Sahasravadane yabe kaheya ananta yeka dinir lila rata bunahi paya anta. If Ananta with his 1,000 hoods try to describe even one day's pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would find them impossible to describe fully. Koti yuga pranayanta yadi likheya ganesha Eka dinir lila ratabu nahi paya sesha. if Ganesh, the Lord Shiva's son and the expert scribe of the demigods, tried for millions of millenniums to fully describe one day of the Lord's pastimes, he would be unable to find the hour limit. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll just stop for a moment. I'll stop the screen share for a moment, and then I'll just try to explain what we have read in these 14-15 verses. So this chapter is titled Rescuing the Lord from the Sea. And we are all in the Antya Leela pastimes of the Lord. And the Antya Leela pastimes are very, very grave and very difficult to understand. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent day and night absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And throughout the day, what he would do is he would visit various places in Jagannath Puri along with his associates. And as he would visit these different places, he would get reminded of Krishna in various ways. Just like, for example, when we are constantly thinking of someone or when we are constantly meditating about something, wherever we go, whatever we see, we get reminded of that person or that particular thing that is dear to us in various ways. This happens not only in mundane life, but also in Krishna consciousness, because we are trained to become devotees in Krishna consciousness. We are trained to hear and chant continuously. And we are told that everything that we see around us, we should somehow or the other dovetail that in the service of Krishna. And we should remember Krishna in various ways. Like, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in so many ways how he is actually present in this manifest universe. And when we see these objects, we should be reminded of Krishna. We should see them in relationship with Krishna. So as we are trained in Krishna consciousness like this, to do Shravanam Kirtanam constantly, when we see a dark blue cloud or when we see a peacock feather, we are taught to be reminded of Krishna. This comes over a period of time. Not only does this happen with relation to mundane things, but it also happens as practicing devotees. As practicing devotees, when we see things related to Krishna, we remember Krishna. So for us, you know, with some training, it can happen. Like, for example, when you go out, now it's spring season, you go out in the garden and you see beautiful roses or you see jasmine flowers or any flower, fragrant flower, you automatically think how nice it will be if I use this in the service of Krishna. So you would probably pick a flower from your garden and offer it to Krishna. There are some devotees who like to grow fruits and vegetables in their garden and they like to offer it to Krishna. So like this, we try to use everything in the service of Krishna and we become trained to think like that. Now this is for the sadhakas. The sadhakas, we do this. But whereas you can imagine the Supreme Lord. Okay, here we have the Supreme Lord who has come in the mood of love personified, who is Srimati Radharani, and he's playing the role of a devotee. So look at this combination. He is the Supreme Lord. He's the abode of all rasas, all emotions. And he is coming in the mood of the rasa personified Mahabhav, who is Srimati Radharani. And he's taken the role of a devotee to practice and show the world. So you can imagine how much emotions Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going through every day, how he's exhibiting these emotions so beautifully. So day and night, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk through the streets of Jagannath Puri, anything and everything he saw would remind him of Vrindavan and the pastimes of Krishna. And especially at this particular season, it was the autumn season. And the full moon in the autumn season would obviously remind Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of the Sharad Purnima or the Rasalila pastimes. And the Rasalila pastimes is considered the distilled essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes. It is the distilled essence of Krishna's pastimes. So when he would go and he would see the beautiful autumn full moon, obviously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be reminded of Krishna and his Rasalila pastimes. And when he saw the moon and he saw the reflection of the moon in the glittering waters of the sea, he automatically mistook the moon to be the moon in Vrindavan, showing up in Vrindavan, and the waters of the sea to be the waters of Yamuna. So this really kindled his remembrance of Krishna, and he was floating in ecstasy. So when he would see this beautiful moonlit nights, he would recite verses from the Rasalila. Just like in the previous chapter, we saw how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was explaining the meaning of verses. So like that, either he would recite or he would ask Swarup Damodar, who was his constant companion, to recite these verses. And they would begin explaining these verses in various ways, and they would drink the nectar. They would churn these verses and drink the nectar from these verses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are very uncommon and very difficult to explain. For 12 years, he lived in, he performed his Antya Leela pastimes. And every minute, he was performing very uncommon pastimes. You wouldn't see such pastimes commonly explained in scriptures. It's very hard to fathom. So therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is telling, I tried to write these pastimes, but they are so vast and they are so uncommon. It is so hard for me to put down every minute of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. Even one day's pastimes cannot be explained by Sesha himself. Now, Ananta Sesh, who is the transcendental bed of the Supreme Lord, he has thousands of hoods. And with the thousands of hoods, he's constantly chanting all the pastimes of the Lord, because the Lord is performing various pastimes every single second. And he's trying to keep up with the Lord. So there is a competition between the Lord and Ananta Sesh. Both of them, they are trying to catch up with each other. The Lord is thinking, okay, Ananta Sesh is describing my pastime so beautifully, so let me do another pastime so that he can catch up with me again. So like that, there is a competition. This Ananta Sesh is failing when it comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is not able to catch up with these pastimes. They are so beautiful, they are so uncommon, and they are so vast and so grave. Very, very deep pastimes, very difficult to understand. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes a statement that even Ganesh is the great scribe of the demigods. That's how he describes him. He was the scribe of the Mahabharata. There is a purport in which Prabhupada writes about Vyasadeva writing the Mahabharata. And he says, Ganesh was the scribe. Vyasadeva recited the Mahabharata. And he wanted a scribe who would keep up with the speed. Because Vyasadeva, once he was in a trance and he was speaking, he should not be stopped at any time. He didn't want a scribe who would say, oh, I missed that point, can you repeat it? He didn't want a scribe like that. He wanted a scribe who was so perfect in listening, understanding, and then writing. So it is not enough if a scribe just hears and writes. The scribe should be able to understand what the person is speaking and then write. Then he's a good scribe. So here, Ganesh was the perfect scribe, and he was chosen to write the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata has over 1 lakh verses. 1 lakh is 100,000, if I'm not wrong, in the American counting system. And so many verses Ganesh had to comprehend. He had to digest and then write it down. So he was the perfect scribe. Even Ganesh, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, even Ganesh fails when it comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's so hard to comprehend. Unless he comprehends, how will he put it down in words? He cannot even put it down. So it is so hard to explain the verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And by the mercy of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, actually, we are all very fortunate that we are receiving this nectar. Right? Such a great fortune for us to be in this moment. Such a great fortune for us to come in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very uncommon, very rare gift we have all been blessed with. And this gift goes a long way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he has given us, such a simple process, but so powerful. So powerful. It's a lifelong guide in our life. You can face any circumstance if you come to Krishna consciousness, if you take up this movement very seriously. So we have Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami glorifying the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the autumn time. As he was in Jagannath Puri, he was constantly being reminded of Vrindavan Dham and Yamuna. And he wanted to participate in the Rasalila pastime. So when a devotee is so engrossed in the pastimes of the Lord, he just wants to enter the pastime. So that was the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All that he wanted to do is he just wanted to enter that beautiful pastime of the Rasalila that he was thinking is really happening in front of his eyes. So let's continue the verses and see what happened further. Verse number 15, very, very beautiful verse and worth meditating on. And because this verse talks a lot about devotees, we are also going to connect it to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, verse number 15. ಭಕ್ತಿರ ಪ್ರೇಮ ವಿಕಾರ ದೇಕಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚಮತ್ಕಾರ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಯಾರ ನಾಪಾಯ ಅಂತ ಕೇಬಾಚಾರ ಆರ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: ಈವನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಟಕ್ ವಿತ್ ವಂಡರ್ ಐಟ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಇಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಎಸ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ದ ಲಿಮಿಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಚ್ ಇಮೋಷನ್ಸ್, ಹೌ ಕುಡ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್? Interesting point, right? So Krishna himself, he gets struck with wonder when he sees the transcendental emotions exhibited by his advanced devotees. Devotees are no less, I mean, in one sense, devotees, they just show us how great the process can be, how great love of God can be. So Krishna becomes struck with wonder when he sees some of his devotees exhibit these beautiful pastimes. So you all can imagine how wonderful it is when the Supreme Lord, coming in the mood of love personified, is actually exhibiting these pastimes in the mood of his devotee. So it's a very, very beautiful thing to imagine. Here again, the next verse is also very similar, 16:17. ಭಕ್ತ ಪ್ರೇಮಾರ್ ಯತ ದಾಸ ಯೇ ಗತಿ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಯಥ ದುಃಖ ಯಥ ಸುಖ ಯತೇ ಕವಿಕಾರ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ತಾಹ ಸಮ್ಯಕ್ ನಾ ಪಾರಿ ಜಾನೀತೆ ಭಕ್ತ ಭಾವ ಅಂಗೀಕಾರೇ ತಹ ಆಸ್ವಾದೀತೆ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ಸ್, ದ ಮೋಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರೆಸ್, the happiness and unhappiness and the moods of ecstatic love of his devotees. He therefore accepts the role of a devotee to taste these emotions fully. And this is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually began exhibiting his pastimes, because he wanted to understand what is the mood of a devotee, how Srimati Radharani feels. And that is the only reason why, main reason rather, internal reason why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and performed his pastimes. So if a devotee can show such expressions, then you can imagine how great the Lord's expressions would be. Now, if you want to know how a devotee shows such transcendental emotions, we should refer to Srimad Bhagavatam, our go-to place. So let's see what Srimad Bhagavatam has to say. So this is Canto 7. Can you all see my screen? Canto 7, can you see? Is the window visible?
Okay. Yes, Madhuri.
Okay. So now what we are going to do is we are going to see how a devotee exhibits these transcendental qualities. And for this, we are going to see Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 7 is all about the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev. And this chapter, Canto 7, Chapter 4, is titled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. It's a chapter about Hiranyakashipu, but then towards the end of the chapter, there are some beautiful verses about the introduction to Prahlad Maharaj, the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, and especially verses 36 to 42, as you see in the screen, are verses in glorification with what was happening with Prahlad Maharaj. Now we'll get into these verses and we'll try to understand how a devotee behaves in love of God. Verse number 36. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Very lovely verse. And in the verse, Srila Prabhupada actually says, Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will actually be explained in the next verse. Krishna graha grihitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. So what was happening with Prahlad Maharaj? His mind was filled with the thoughts of Krishna. Wherever he saw, he was seeing Krishna. Whatever he saw it in relationship with Krishna. His heart was flooded with thoughts of Krishna. This is the first symptom that is described here. Next, in the next verse, it says, from the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playing things. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. So here we have Prahlad Maharaj, who was completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Though Prahlad Maharaj was just a boy, he was not interested in playing or in mundane activities. He was situated in first class devotional service, and his mind was constantly absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Here you have this word called as Naisargaki Ratihi. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavata, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it was stated that he had natural attachment. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. So two things we can understand. Prahlad Maharaj had natural attachment, and his heart was continuously filled with the thoughts of Krishna. So there are two things. One is, yes, our hearts can be filled with thoughts of Krishna, but sometimes it's not very spontaneous. It comes with practice, right? With practice, it is not spontaneous attachment. With practice, eventually we attain a position of spontaneous attachment to train our mind to continuously think about the Lord. But here, Prahlad Maharaj had gone to that position where his heart was not only filled with thoughts of Krishna, but he had that spontaneous attachment to Krishna. Wherever he saw, whatever he saw, he was always thinking in terms of how it can be related to Krishna consciousness. Because Prahlad Maharaj was absorbed like that in thoughts of Krishna, he was being embraced by the Lord. If someone is continuously thinking about Krishna all the time, obviously the Lord reciprocates. Yata mam prapatyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. So therefore, the Lord also reciprocates. Because he was like that, the Lord was embracing him from within all the time. And because the Lord was embracing him and the Lord was personally taking care of him, he did not care for his bodily necessities such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking and talking. All these were automatically performed. So you can relate it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in some of the previous chapters and the wonderful classes by the previous speakers, we see how these, especially I remember one of the classes of Kirtira Sundari Mataji, she was mentioning how all these activities were being automatically performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was just like, you know, like a button. He was just doing everything externally. All the activities were going on, but internally he was absorbed, completely absorbed in love of God. Why? Because obviously he's being embraced by the Lord. He's the Lord himself and he's being embraced by himself. Such a beautiful situation. Here we see Prahlad was a devotee. He was a devotee and the Lord was embracing him, and all his bodily necessities was happening automatically. The necessary activities of his body were performed without knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in the thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. See one more verse, few more verses. We can see till verse 42 because they actually resonate with how a devotee behaves. Okay. So here comes the symptoms of ecstasy. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, he sometimes laughed, and sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Again, you can relate it to what was happening with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. It's so beautiful the way Prabhupada explains it. Prabhupada gives the analogy of a mother and child. If a mother leaves her small child in the bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that the mother has gone away and therefore he cries. But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child laughs and sometimes becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, being always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is my Krishna? It is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation. And sometimes when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs, just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking good care of him. These symptoms are called as bhava. The nectar of devotion, various bhavas, ecstasies, conditions of a devotee are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of the perfect devotee. So this is how Prahlad Maharaj was actually crying and laughing. Then he thought that Krishna, I can't see Krishna, I can't see Krishna. At that time he would cry. And when he would sometimes see Krishna in front of him, that time he would laugh. So like this, in a state of bhava, Prahlad Maharaj was exhibiting these different symptoms of ecstasy. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would call out loudly in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness and jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt loneliness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. He felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes he would call out for the Lord very loudly. Sometimes he would dance. Tears would fall from his eyes. There is a very beautiful painting of Prahlad Maharaj raising his arms and dancing and making everyone else dance in his classroom. So Prahlad Maharaj would get into these different symptoms of ecstasy. And sometimes he would see that the Lord is with him. He felt very, very happy thinking that the Lord is with him. So here again, another comparison is given by Srila Prabhupada. Again, a devotee like Prahlad sometimes sees the Lord coming from a long distance to pacify him, just like a mother responding to a child saying, my dear child, don't cry, I'm coming. Then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, here is my Lord is coming. Thus, the devotee is in full ecstasy. Sometimes he imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just like how the cowherd boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. This oneness is not becoming the Lord. It is actually being, completely in tune with the Lord. That's what Prahlad Maharaj was doing. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasy is described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. The same thing was happening with the gopis. In these 5 chapters, you see how the gopis, they were imitating the pastimes of Krishna. One gopi would, speak like Krishna. One gopi would stand like Krishna. She would put her hand on the shoulder of another gopi. So they would imitate the pastimes, right from killing of Putana till the killing of Kishi demon. They would imitate because that pastime would create some sort of unison with the Lord. They would feel so connected to the Lord. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj here, he was also in such a position. Sometimes he would cry out to the Lord in great anxiety. Sometimes he would lose his shyness and he would dance in ecstasy. Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing all of this. All day and night he was doing all of this. The first half of the chapter talks about it, how he was doing this all day and night. And he would also imitate the pastimes of the Lord. He would talk about those verses from the Bhagavatam, about the Rasa Panchadaya, and he would start explaining it from the viewpoint of Srimati Radharani. So it's very, very beautiful. These pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when a devotee like Prahlad can do it, right? We're just seeing the emotions of a devotee. A devotee can exhibit these emotions and the Lord is struck with wonder. And when the Lord exhibits these pastimes, it's so hard to comprehend. It's so hard to comprehend. 2 more verses. Sometimes, feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent. His hair standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. This is, shunyayitam, chakshusha pravrishayitam, refer to tears falling incessantly from the devotee's eyes. These symptoms which appear in pure devotional ecstasy were visible in the body of Prahlad Maharaj. And one more verse. Because of his association with perfect, unalloyed devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. See, a devotee can do it. A devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, he was born in the family of demons. It was not a very nice environment. He had a torturing father, a father who was torturing him so much that he wanted to kill him in various ways. So the circumstances that Prahlad was born into was not very comfortable, very hard circumstances. But he had the little association of Narada Muni, and his love for Krishna was awakened. And because his love for Krishna was awakened, he could get absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. He could fill his heart with Krishna Bhakti, and he developed this spontaneous love. And he went to the states of Bhava, and seeing him, just coming in contact with him, just being in his association, just being with him for a few minutes, the demoniac classmates of Prahlad Maharaj were also affected. They also took to devotional service. They took to chanting the holy names of the Lord. He affected the entire atmosphere. Everyone in his classroom also took to Krishna consciousness, because obviously they were also in one way innocent, right? And they took the words of Prahlad Maharaj very seriously. They were very innocent and they took the words of him very seriously. And being in his association, they got influenced. Instead of being disturbed by the torments of his father, Prahlad influenced these friends and cleansed their minds. A devotee is never contaminated by material conditions. But persons subjected to material conditions can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. This is actually Ahaituki Apratihata. Prahlad Maharaj was Ahaituki Apratihata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also similarly, this is a bhakta. Prahlad is a bhakta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. So definitely his spiritual ecstasies are multifold. They are multifold. And anyone who came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they also developed symptoms of love of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so potent that he even made animals dance and sing in the Jharkhand forest. And the greatest of enemies, the deer and the tiger, were kissing each other and they were chanting Hari Hari. So that is the potency of the Supreme Lord. So why did we see the story of Prahlad Maharaj? Just to get an idea of how a devotee shows emotions in love of God. So a devotee like Prahlad can show such emotions, and Krishna himself cannot understand fully these emotional conditions. Therefore, ecstatic love of Krishna makes Krishna and his devotees dance, and it also dances personally. So triple effect. One side, ecstatic love of Krishna is making Krishna dance. It is making Krishna's devotees dance, and love of God itself dances. So there is a triple effect. In this way, all three together is dancing in one place, where in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's a personification of love of God. He's acting as the perfect devotee. He's Krishna himself. So all the three are dancing together in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the effect, the full effect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And anyone who wants to describe these transformations of ecstatic love of Krishna is just like a dwarf trying to reach out to the moon. Can a dwarf touch the moon, or can any one of us touch the moon? We can't touch the moon with our bare hands standing here. It's not possible. Ravana, he wanted to create a staircase to heaven, Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, or maybe in a conversation, he talks about it. Ravana, he wanted to create a staircase so that he could just climb up to heaven. But is it possible? It's only foolishness. It's foolishness. So if we think we can understand everything about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are like a dwarf trying to catch the moon, which is not possible. As the wind can carry away but a drop of water in the ocean, a living entity can touch only a particle of this ocean of love of Krishna. And that is what we are trying to achieve. See, we just want to understand, we can't understand everything, but when we can get a minute touch, a small touch of that one drop of love of God, that is itself more than enough for us. By reading Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is what we are trying to get. Just a single fraction of a drop of Krishna's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, that is enough for us. And just so such a beautiful analogy, just as a wind can carry away but a drop of water in the ocean, when the wind blows, can it take away the entire ocean? It just takes a small particle, a drop. Similarly, a living entity like us, we can only touch a particle of the ocean of love of Krishna that was exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Endless waves arise moment after moment in that ocean of love. How could an insignificant living entity estimate their limits? It is impossible. However, only a person in the level of Swarup Damodar Goswami can fully know what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes in his love for Krishna. That's why we see in the Antya Leela pastimes that Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, they were the ones who were constant companions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lalita and Vishakha and Krishna Leela. They can understand what exactly Srimati Radharani was undergoing. It is very hard for others to understand. It's very hard for insignificant jivas like us. We don't understand all this. But that's why a person on the level of Swarup Damodar, only he can understand what exactly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tasting in his love for Krishna. Jivahana kareye tatara varnana apana shodite tara chonyeye kakarnam. When an ordinary living entity describes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he purifies himself by touching just one drop of that ocean. Is that fraction of one drop enough for us? Yes, it is enough. Because just by touching that one drop, our entire existence can get purified. That is the power. That is the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. That is the special gift we are all bestowed with. Just by touching that one drop, lifetime after lifetime, everything can be purified from us. Why lifetime after lifetime? Just this one lifetime, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can become completely purified. ऐ माता रासे रश्लोका सकलाई पढ़ीता शेषे जला के केली रश्लोका पढ़ीते लगीला. Thus all the verses about the Rasalila dance were recited. Then finally the verse concerning the pastimes in the water was recited. So like this, the entire chapter of Rasalila was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and analyzed in various ways by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then slowly he came to the final verses of that chapter. Chapter 33 of the 10th canto has beautiful verses about the Rasalila. Towards the end of the Rasalila, what happened? That is actually very beautiful, extremely beautiful. And that particular verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are going to see what that verse is. This is text 25. Tabir yutashramam apohitu manga sanga grishtas rajahasa kuchakum kumaranjitaya gandharva pali biranurudata Avishatva Shanto Gaji Biri Bharadi Vabhinna Setuhu. Translation. As an independent leader among elephants enters the water with its female elephants, Krishna, who is transcendental to the Vedic principles of morality, I repeat, Krishna, who is transcendental to the Vedic principles of morality, entered the water of the Yamuna with the gopis. His chest had brushed against their breasts, crushing his flower garland and coloring it with red kumkuma powder. Attracted by the fragrance of that garland, humming bumblebees followed Krishna like celestial beings of Gandharva Loka. In this way, Lord Krishna mitigated the fatigue of the Rasa dance. Chapter 33. The Rasa dance, and here is the verse. Verse number 24, right? No, it is verse number, verse number 20. Just a second. 22, okay. It is verse number 22. Here we see this verse. Lord Krishna's garland had been crushed. So what happened before this? Krishna and the gopis, they were dancing, and they had a beautiful performance in the autumn lit night, and they had a wonderful dance. Krishna expanded into 16,108 forms, and he was enjoying with the 16,108 gopis, and they had a beautiful, beautiful Rasleela dance. Towards the everyone was tired, and they were perspiring because of dancing all night. So Krishna, with his lotus hands, with his cooling blue lotus-like hands, he wiped off the perspiration from the faces of all the gopis. After he wiped off the perspiration on the faces of all the gopis, he took all the gopis, and all the gopis and Krishna, they entered the waters of River Yamuna just to release themselves of all the fatigue. Just like, after you've had a great workout, you would want to go and take a shower. Okay, this is a very mundane example. But here, this is all transcendental. Krishna and the gopis, they were dancing and they were fatigued. They were really tired. So Krishna thought that it was his responsibility to take good care of the gopis. And he took all the gopis into the waters of River Yamuna so that they could get refreshed. And he served the gopis. So Krishna was splashing water on the gopis, relieving them of all fatigue. And he started playing with the gopis like the king of elephants, just like how an elephant would enter water with all his female companions and then splash water on each other. Similarly, Krishna was splashing water on all the gopis, and the gopis were playing with him. So like this, they were wearing flower garlands, and all these flower garlands were being crushed in their play. And it was so fragrant. And Krishna appeared like a royal elephant in the water. And the gopis, whose only life and soul was Krishna, they felt that all their desires was fulfilled. And they took full advantage of this autumn lit moonlight, autumn lit nights. And they were enjoying with Krishna in the waters. So now comes the verse that says that this Krishna, who is the Lord of the universe, who is the upholder of religious principles. Why does Krishna descend into this world? He comes here to give pleasure to his devotees, to chastise the demons. Not only that, he comes here to re-establish religious principles. That is the role of Krishna's descent. But here, there is a problem, an apparent problem. Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami is telling, Krishna, who is the upholder of religious principles, has entered the water with the wives of other men. And he is playing in the waters with them. So, Shukadev Goswami is making the statement. Very contradictory, right? What is religious principles? Is Krishna keeping up religious principles here? Right? That's the question that one may have. And it's not just us who has that question. Parikshit Maharaj himself has this question in this very chapter. Towards the end of the chapter, Parikshit Maharaj himself starts asking Shukadev Goswami, hold on, wait. Listen, my dear Brahmana, he is the supreme lord of the universe, and he has descended to this earth along with his plenary portion to destroy irreligion and establish religious principles. He is the original speaker, follower, and guardian of all the moral laws. Then how can he violate these religious principles by touching other men's wives? So it's not just us, even Parikshit Maharaj had the same question. And why did Parikshit Maharaj ask this question? Do we think Parikshit really did not understand this and he was asking this question? Not really. Again, Prabhupada in the purport, he clarifies that in the assembly, when Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami were talking, there were other great sages as well. And these great sages were actually in the level of Karmi and Jnanis. They didn't understand pure devotional service in the right way. They couldn't comprehend these pastimes of Krishna. It was very hard for them. So therefore, to clear up their doubts, representing them, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question on their behalf. Not only on their behalf, on our behalf also. Because as conditioned living entities, even we get these questions. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was representing everybody. And he was asking this question. He asked this question to Shukadev Goswami. You're telling that he is the great upholder of religious principles, but isn't this wrong? That is the question. And Shukadev Goswami was very, very happy to answer this question. He was waiting for an opportunity to answer this question. So therefore, he said, the status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparently audacious transgression of morality that we see in him, because great personalities are like fire. So if you throw something impure on fire, do you think fire will become impure? No, fire will devour that and it will burn even better, right? So great personalities are like fire. They are very, very pure. Just because apparently, externally it may look like they're doing something in your vision wrong, it doesn't mean that they're doing something wrong. They are extremely pure like that fire. And don't think that you can become like them. Again, here immediately Shukadeva Goswami gives a warning. He says, one who's not a great controller, if you are not an Ishvara, if you're not a great controller, don't try to imitate the behavior of great personalities, even mentally. So immediate caution given by Shukadeva Goswami. Even in your mind, don't think you can do like them. It's only foolishness if you think that you can do like them. And if you do it, you will only destroy yourself. It is like a person trying to imitate Lord Shiva. Shiva drank poison. So do you think you can go and drink poison? So don't try to imitate the behavior of great personalities. Great personalities are like fire. Nothing can happen to them. They will always remain pure. And then he said so beautiful. He said, my dear Prabhu, he calls Parikshit Maharaj, these great personalities, they are free from false ego. And see, and they act piously in this world. They have no selfish motive to fulfill. And when they act in apparent contradiction to the laws of piety, they are not subject to sinful reactions. So even great personalities, this is not about the Lord. What Shukadeva Goswami is telling in this verse is that even empowered servants of the Lord, even they sometimes they can act in certain ways. And the way they act, we should not imitate. Even empowered servants. Why? Even empowered servants are free from false ego and they act piously in this world. And they have no selfish motives. So therefore, they are not subject to sinful reactions. Even empowered servants can do these things and not have sinful reactions. Then what to talk about the Lord, who is the creator of all living beings? Now here you have Krishna, who is the creator of all living beings. He is the creator of all the animals, of men, of all the demigods. And he doesn't have any connection with piety or impiety. These great souls or the great empowered servants of the Lord, they have connection with piety and impiety. And they can get rid of impiety very easily because they are very, very pious. But then what to talk about the Supreme Lord? He has no connection with anything in this world. He's completely transcendental. Right? So where is the question of karma for him? There is no question of karma, and more than anything else, one aspect is that Krishna is not bound to the laws of right and wrong. Okay, agreed. But there is something more important. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He who lives as the overseeing witness within the gopis and their husbands, and indeed within all embodied living beings, assumes the forms in this world only to enjoy transcendental pastimes. So Krishna is the Paramatma within the hearts of the gopis. Not only is he the Paramatma within the hearts of the gopis, he is also Paramatma within the hearts of the husbands of the gopis. The husbands of the gopis, everybody is actually the rightful claim of only Krishna. Only Krishna possesses all of us. We are all jivas, meaning we are actually servants of the Supreme Lord, or we are insignificant parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Who is our enjoyer? The only Purusha, the only enjoyer is Krishna. Not only is Krishna the enjoyer of all these gopis, Krishna is also the enjoyer of the husbands of the gopis. So where is the question of transgression? He is the Supreme Lord. Only we belong only to him. If we think we belong to someone else, that is only an illusion. We only belong to Krishna and Krishna only. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, he says, he is the Paramatma, he is the Supreme Lord. Each one of us belong only to him. Where is the question of transgression? And all these pastimes are completely transcendental. They are not on a bodily level. They are completely transcendental. Because Krishna himself descends. He is, in a transcendental platform. He says, Janma karma cha me divyam. Janma and karma, everything is divyam. Everything is transcendental. So where is the question of such material interactions? And in fact, Parikshit Maharaj goes on to say, the cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained in their home by their side. They did not harbor any jealous feeling against their wives. So even the husbands were actually not disturbed, because Krishna had already covered them with his illusory potency, and he was performing all this only for the sake of pastimes, to give pleasure to his devotees, to satisfy all his devotees. So that is how this beautiful verse is described. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so engrossed in the Rasalila pastimes, and he was thinking about this, and he finally chanted this very, very beautiful verse from the Rasa Panchadhyayi. And after he chanted this beautiful verse, what he did was he started wandering everywhere as he was chanting this pastime. And while he was wandering, looking at the moonlit night, looking at the moon, the reflection and the ocean, as he was walking along chanting these verses, he reached a place called as Aitoka. And this is a very big garden, very big garden. He reached there, and it was along the shore of the sea. So he went there, and it was along the shore of the sea. And Mahaprabhu, suddenly he saw the sea. He saw the sea and he saw the moon. He saw the moon and he saw the sea. And brightened by the shining light of the moon, the high waves of the sea, they glittered like the waters of River Yamuna. They reminded him of the waters of River Yamuna, and mistaking the sea for the rivers of Yamuna, the Lord ran swiftly and he jumped into the water, and it was not seen by others. So when no one was seeing, he just saw these waters and he got carried away, and he went running and he jumped into the sea. And he jumped into the sea, and falling into the sea, he simply lost his consciousness. He did not understand where he was, and sometimes he was sinking within the sea, sometimes he was floating on top of the sea, just like how there is a dried piece of wood. You know, when there is a dried piece of wood, that piece of wood get carried away by the waters of the sea or waters of the ocean. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had lost consciousness. He was completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and the waves were carrying him hither and thither, and sometimes he was inside, sometimes he was outside. So like this, who can understand this dramatic performance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Nobody can understand this. It's very hard to understand. Like this, he was carried away. Sometimes he was submerged, sometimes he was afloat. The waves carried him towards the Konark temple. Let me read the last two verses in Bengali. Konarke dike prabhu tarange lana yaya kabu dubanara ke kabu basana lana hayaya. Keeping the Lord sometimes submerged and sometimes afloat, the waves carried him toward the Konark temple. Purport: Konark, generally known as Arkatirtha, is a temple of Lord Suryadev, the sun god. It is situated on the seashore 19 miles north of Jagannath Puri. It was constructed of black stone in the beginning of the 13th century of the Shaka era, and it shows expert craftsmanship and architecture. So basically, the sea was there. On one side, you have Jagannath Puri, and near the sea, you have this Aitota garden where actually Mahaprabhu wandered off and he jumped into the sea. And the waters carried him to the northeast side of the other side of the bank, where you have this beautiful sun temple, Konark temple. Anyone from India would know Konark temple. It's a great masterpiece of architecture. And the pride of Jagannath Puri is, of course, Lord Jagannath and his temple. And the other pride of Jagannath, of the Puri area, is actually the Konark temple. So the Konark temple is extremely beautiful, and many of you must have heard about its great architecture. So he just went afloat and he went on to the other side where the Konark temple was. Yamunate jala keli gopi gana sange Krishna karen Mahaprabhu Magnase Range. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fully submerged in the pastimes of Krishna, performed with the gopis in the waters of the river Yamuna. So like this, he was submerged in the pastimes, and he got submerged in the ocean, in the sea, and he went on to the other side of the sea. So now we'll have to see what happened. What happened? Did they find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who found Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How did they bring him back to consciousness? And what happened to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after that? So that is what we are going to see. And just like how Prahlad Maharaj kind of affected everyone in his presence, anyone who came in contact with Prahlad Maharaj got reminded of the Lord and they also started chanting and dancing. Did the Lord in his transcendental situation affect anybody? Did something happen? Something else happen to other people? That also we will see in the future sessions. So we'll stop here. And if you have any questions or comments or anything to add or correct, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you so much. Beautiful session, hearing this nectar after a very, very long time. You're waiting for it. So thank you so much for connecting Mahaprabhu's pastimes with Srimad Bhagavatam pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. And I really like that it's so difficult even to fathom the external activities of the devotees and what to talk about the Supreme Lord. Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So we really cannot fathom and how, with so much of humility, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing, and a personality like him, who is a Manjari, if he is saying this, then we have nowhere, we stand nowhere. Wow. But still grateful to Prabhupada and, of course, to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that at least we can get a glimpse. As you said, that Bindu is enough, right? Yes, Bindu is enough. We cannot even relish Bindu. So how can we relish the whole ocean? Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for connecting this to Bhagavatam last times. And so beautiful.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. You've been a great inspiration. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anyone else has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is Komalekidasi. Very ecstatic reading, ecstatic hearing, and ecstatic explaining. Very, very wonderful.
Thank you, Komalekidasi Mataji. Classes are never complete without your blessings. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Your blessing to us.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandvat Pranam. Oh, very beautiful class, Mataji. Very nicely connected to Prahlad Maharaj also, and how you were explaining that not just the gopis, but even the gopis. Can you hear me, Mataji? Am I not?
Yeah. It's low, but I can hear you. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Pranav.
Hare Krishna.
I liked your class, Mataji.
Oh, thank you, baby. Thank you so much.
Mataji, so and how you were connecting the gopis, and not just the gopis, even their husbands, everyone belongs to Krishna. It's just that we don't realize that and we don't. We have our own agenda always, but so one thing, Mataji, so you were talking about Prahlad Maharaj and you were showing us those verses. So was Prahlad Maharaj also in that state of prema?
Bhava, yeah, it is bhava.
Okay, just like Bharat Maharaj was. Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very nice to have you back on the call.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your association and your inputs. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. I really like the point what even Indu Mataji was putting on, that not only the gopis, but also the gopis' husbands are the property of Krishna. Everybody is a property of Krishna. So there is no question of, saying that somebody's housewives are there. So there is no question of that. Yeah, that really very nice point, Mataji. And the way you connected to Prahlad Maharaj, how Prahlad Maharaj was completely, involved in the in the memories of Krishna only, but now his daily activities are just like that, going like same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu you are comparing. It was so nice. And when you are telling about the how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was imagining of Krishna in the Yamuna, how you were telling about elephants, right? I was remembering Gajendra was also like how he was entering and, you know, pouring the water and enjoying. I could remember that pastime over there. Very beautiful class, Mataji, the way you connected each and everything was so nice, easy to understand. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinita, Mataji. Thank you for making everything possible, for always being there and taking care of everything in the background. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. So nice to see you in this pink also. Sorry, Mataji, my voice might not be so clear. But then it's all wonderful. I really love how you, you brought this Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita along. It's really so nice to understand, because Chaitanya Charitamrita becomes so hard to understand at a point. But when it goes to Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can relate and it becomes easy to understand. Thank you, Mataji. Really, I don't know why.
Day or night, you're there. Thank you.
No, Mataji, it's still time. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. As usual, after long, long time, we get your association. Please come every Thursday or Friday. We need your association and blessing. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna. So
thank
nice.
Thank you for your blessings, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shishirata Kupinath Savar, his special mercy that we get your association regularly. Koti koti dandavat pranam, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Lakshmi.
Thank you, Mataji, for such a wonderful class. Mataji, when you were talking about Prahlad Maharaj, you said that he was an approved Mahabhagavat and he also has a natural attraction to Krishna. Where Prahlad Maharaj speaks with his friends in the class, he used to say that he received all this knowledge from Narad Rishi. Mm-hmm. So, was it he received from Narada Rishi, or how does someone have a natural attraction to Krishna hearing from a Rishi, or what was his pastime in his previous life? He was a devotee, because I don't know about his previous life, Mataji. Do you shed some light on that?
Very nice. Yeah. So when it says that he had developed spontaneous attraction. See, basically, when we start off devotional service, we take sadhu sangha, meaning we take the association of devotees, and then the devotion in us gets kindled, okay? And then we start practicing. We practice devotional service. After it matures, it develops into some sort of a spontaneous attachment towards Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj had reached that stage where he was spontaneously attached to Krishna or attracted to Krishna. So basically, his bhakti had matured. That is the understanding. All of us, we start off only because some devotee was merciful towards us. Just like our Prahlad Maharaj, he received the knowledge only from Narada Muni. But his devotion had matured and he had developed spontaneous attachment. Okay, so that is one side. And the second thing is about the past life of Prahlad Maharaj. It's very interesting. This is mentioned in the Narasimha Purana. It's not there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj's previous life. Prahlad Maharaj was attached to a woman in his previous life, and he was living with her. And what happened was, on one particular night, they had a fight, both this lady and Prahlad in his previous life. And because they had a fight, Prahlad was very, very upset. He was a Brahmin. He was born in a Brahmin family. He was very upset and he fasted and kept vigil the whole night. Along with that woman. because they were very upset with each other, and Prahlad didn't want to eat, or he didn't want to sleep, or he didn't want to do anything. And it so happened that that night was Narsingh Chaturdashi. That whole day and night, it was Narsingha Chaturdashi. And that actually gave him enough pious credits to be born as Prahlad. Though he was born in a family of demons, Narada Muni gave his causeless mercy in the womb of Kayadu. So that attracted the mercy of the Lord. That's what instigated him to actually get the association of Narada Muni, though he was in a demoniac family. So this is the past life story of Prahlad Maharaj. What gave him that opportunity? Yes, definitely. What gave him an opportunity to become a devotee? Definitely he did some bhakti unmukha sukriti he had, right? So it was sukriti through the process of involuntary devotional service, without knowing he did it, but he attained some sukriti because of it. Did that help, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, very much. So it is in Narasimha Purana, the past life of.
Yes.
Okay, Mataji, that's very useful. I can refer that. Mataji, again, you were talking about the triple effect: Krishna dances, devotee dances, love of God itself dances. So, like Krishna dances, yeah, we can understand devotee dance, Krishna dance with them. What is the third point, Mataji? Love of God itself dances. Like, how do I understand it or visualize it?
Love of God is so dynamic, right? It's so dynamic that it's dancing. Love of God is not something that is grounded or you can catch love of God. It is like that, right? It is dynamic. It's so hard to comprehend, actually. Yeah. It dances, that's all. Did that make sense?
Yeah, something like makes sense, like I understand or I don't understand. Like, I think we have to experience it, right? It's something that we experience. Yes.
Yes, you have to experience it, yes.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful, Mataji. Mataji, like while you're telling about the great personalities are like fire, that they're very, very pure. So that goes to Krishna and also the gopis, or it goes to everybody in that Leela?
Yes, of course, yes. They are all great personalities. Even for them, the great personalities, that verse says, great sages and great empowered devotees of the Lord, they are also very pure. And nothing can affect them. Then what to talk of the Supreme Lord? That's how the verses go, right? Yes, the gopis are also very pure.
Yes, Mataji.
The husbands of the gopis, they were completely covered by Krishna, and they didn't take any, they didn't see fault in their wives. Same thing happens with the wives of the Brahmanas, the Yajni Brahmanas. They didn't see any fault in their wives, and they were accepted.
Yes, Mataji. So, Mataji, while you are explaining the details of the question that Parikshit Maharaj is asking behalf of us. So, but when you see, Mataji, when normally we discuss about Krishna, this knowledge is available for everybody. Like everyone, even though they're not purified, they're not devotees, and they don't even read Bhagavadam, but they also know this story of Krishna playing with the wives of other husbands. So, they actually take it in a wrong sense. Only when we get into Bhagavadam and we read this, we get purified, we can understand it. But you know, Mataji, majority of the population, they don't read it, they don't understand it. So it creates actually a negative side of Krishna and also the wives of the covered boys. So why it happens like that, Mataji? They say we accept Lord Ram, we follow Lord Ram, but Krishna, because of this incident, they say it is like a negative side, you know. So I cannot understand why this was given to everybody, where most of the people are, the majority of the population is taking it in a negative sense. That's what happens, because recently also I had a talk with my friend, and the first thing, there are so many things about Krishna, but the first thing they say is, why did he marry so much girls, or why did he play with the covered man's wife? Like, so I get a sense, I asked him, there are so many things about Krishna to discuss, why you always talk this as the first thing? They said this comes first. I was just trying why this happened like this, that this is given, the thing which is most negative is spread widely among them. So how do we understand it, or how do we clarify it to them, because they're not in a purified level?
Yeah, so it's natural that in this material world, anything anything negative about the Lord is first spread very nicely, right? Because it satisfies our false ego. That is the first thing that happens. We want to see fault in the Supreme Lord, and then we want to show that, oh yeah, my because of my ego, I am better than even God. You know, that's a natural tendency that is rampant in this world. Sometimes it is there even within us. But it's not so gross like how it is exhibited by other people. As devotees, we are probably more sober because we understand at least philosophically these things. Now, how do we explain it to them? I think the Bhagavatam is so nice that it can be told in a nice way. You can ask them questions about, so who do you think is this? If Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he's the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and he's the Paramatma in the husband's hearts too. So this is the best explanation that you can give. I think Shukadeva Goswami has given this explanation, and this is a logical explanation. So this can be given to even people who are not pure enough, because this has a strong reasoning, right? So if you are able to reason with someone logically, they should be able to understand it, Mataji. So we can try this. We can try what Parikshit has told. So Shukadev Goswami has told in these verses. And of course, always we like entertaining stories. That is the nature of this world. We just want entertainment. So romance and, certain emotions, these are the things that people of this world like. Even in a movie, if there is no romance or there is no... some sort of a sentiment, nobody likes to watch the movie. So that is the nature of this world. Prabhupada also writes in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, this entire world is running by this desire. This desire is impelling the world to actually run. So therefore, this is not uncommon. Everyone talks about it. And in the process of talking about it, they also want to satisfy their ego, trying to find fault, saying that this is not correct. So yes, it can be logically argued, and that is one way of putting it to rest. You can logically talk about it.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, I too. The point where Krishna says that I'm Paramatma in Gopi's heart as well as in husband's heart, that's a very good point. That clarifies most of the doubt. And the point that you raised, Mataji, that their false ego is making them feel that I'm better than God, that is the main point actually, why they're enjoying it. Because they keep it in their mind. They store it in their mind. And so when Bhagavadam, the first verse says, this is for non-envious people. So obviously, when we are non-envious, only we can understand this. So that adds and that connects everything, Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji, for such a wonderful class. Jai Sachinandana, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your wise questions. Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, I see a question from Parima Mataji. Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji. Parima Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. What a wonderful, wonderful class. As usual, Mataji, it's so nice to have association with you. Mataji, can I share something?
Yes.
Mataji, I had heard, other acharyas like Vallabhacharya, they never considered that gopis were not the wives of Krishna. Because gopis were married to Krishna. And also that all other cowherd boys to whom these gopis were married were the plenary expansions of Krishna. They were not different from Krishna. They were one of the expansions of Krishna. So the question of touching somebody else's wives does not arise. At least I heard it in one class also, that even Radharani was married to Abhimanyu, but Abhimanyu was an expansion of Krishna. That was a very top secret which only Krishna knew and Radharani knew. I heard this in a class. So I'm just sharing it. So these things are like very, very transcendental. So this is one input I'm just giving. If I stand corrected, please correct me.
No. It's right in one sense. Just a few additions to that analysis, which is also correct, is that generally, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we tend to look at Parakya Rasa as Parakya Rasa.
Yes.
Meaning, yeah, so we do not mix them, because then the Parakya Rasa has to stand out, right? So therefore, we see the gopis as gopis only.
Yes.
But what you're saying is not wrong.
Okay. Like in one sense, when Krishna, when this pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela happened, that time Krishna married all the gopis. He married all the gopis, right? So in that sense, yes, Krishna did marry them during a particular pastime to satisfy their desires. So in that sense, yes, they are all the they are also the wives of Krishna. That is one way of seeing it. If someone is very adamant and they are not able to understand Parakya Rasa, then we can quote that pastime. But Krishna did do a pastime where he did marry all of them. And yes, Abhimanyu is the shadow of Krishna, right? So it can be, it depends on the person we are talking to and how much we want to
do. But it's just a perspective that I came across. So I just Mataji, I had one small doubt that you said that Prahlad Maharaj in his previous lifetime unknowingly fasted, and that was a Sukruti. But Mataji, with Sukruti, don't you get heaven? I mean, to get mercy.
Good point. So this is Bhakti Unmukha Sukruti. That means Sukruti related to Bhakti. It is not mundane Sukruti. Okay. Facing Bhakti, if a Sukruti is done, especially because it was Narasimha Chaturdashi, it was Krishna saw some devotional service in it. Krishna is so sweet that even a little thing unknowingly we do, like for example, in Rupa Goswami, he speaks in Nectar of Devotion. Suddenly one mouse unknowingly just pushed he wanted to drink ghee. So he just pushed the wick of the lamp, and the lamp burned better that day evening. So therefore Krishna saw devotional service in that mouse, and he gave that mouse a human life. Similarly, he talks about another incident of a pigeon was shot by a hunter, and unknowingly the pigeon actually fell down on the ground of a temple doing, like bowing down his head as he was falling and dying. So Krishna took that as Sukruti, Bhakti Unmukha Sukruti, not ordinary Sukruti. Okay. So facing Bhakti, it is some sort of a devotional service. So Krishna gives that bird a next life, a human life as a devotee. Like that. Yeah. But you are right.
Yes. Last stupid question.
It is
stupid, but I'm still asking. We also do those kind of Sukrutis. But unfortunately, we are not getting so much result. That is what I was just came across my mind. So I'm just asking.
Mataji, actually, because we did something like that in our previous life, only today we have Krishna consciousness, right? How many of them have Krishna consciousness? It's the greatest gift anyone can get. How many of them have it? A fraction of this world.
Not even 1% of the world's population.
Yeah, because we did something like that. There is a story with Ramanujacharya's, this Yadava Prakash. This Yadava Prakash, he was actually, he did try to even kill Ramanujacharya. But what was his previous life? In his previous life, he was a toad. Okay, toad, a frog-like a creature. And by chance, he didn't even know, by chance he ate the remnants of some Vaishnavas. So therefore, he got birth as Yadava Prakash, a great scholar, a great Brahmin. He did a lot of mistakes, but then still, the Lord was so merciful ultimately that he became a disciple of Ramanujacharya much later in his life. So somehow that whatever little, Sukruti we attain in the mood of, that is favorable to Bhakti, Sukruti favorable to Bhakti, it will take its form and bear fruit at some point in time. It will definitely bear fruit. And I think we have already seen the results, because even if you are there in Krishna consciousness, so much opportunity to chant, so much opportunity to hear about the Lord, so much opportunity to touch the transcendental form of the Lord and do deity worship. Who will get all this, right? It's actually a great favor by the Lord.
Yes, Mother, that is also true. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. I accept my Dhanvat pranams. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Parima Mataji. Very beautiful discussion and inputs. Thank you for your association.
Thank you, Mataji, very much.
Harita Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Such a nice class. It was soothing and enlightening, actually. It's been a long time that we have heard you. So it was really good. Mataji, like as Parima Mataji told about the gopis, like they have been married to the expansion of Krishna. Yes, this I read in the Krishna book also, Mataji. So why can't we quote this, Mataji? Because in this Kali Yuga, we can't tell the non-devotees just about this gopis as gopis. We need to tell them this because they people are always in a wrong intention. Like they will take it in a wrong way only. So I think we need it has become a necessity that we need to quote this Leela. Otherwise, they will always think Krishna in a wrong way only.
You're right.
So I think this is really necessary.
Jiva Goswami also did that. You know, he did that in the sense that he did not want to openly discuss the Parakirasa too much. So therefore, for the sake of non-devotees who cannot understand this, he did that. Yes, it is possible. It is that's what time, place, circumstance, depending on the person you're preaching to, at what level they are, there is no harm in quoting it. Yes, you're right. There's no harm in saying that. And once they take to this process and once they understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, then eventually they'll understand deeper secrets.
Yeah, even myself, I always think like whenever I'm listening to this, I always remember that Krishna has expanded himself as the husbands of these gopis. And then and I also heard that it was not the gopis themselves, they are going and dancing with Krishna. It was their soul that is going and dancing with Krishna.
Yeah. See, that is true. See, the reason why we have to get convinced like this is because we hold mundane religious principles higher, right? Yeah. Because we are tuned like that. There's nothing wrong in one sense to start off with, because we are tuned in a way that we have to put religious principles in front of us and we have to match it. And we have to see Krishna is also following it correctly. Actually, Krishna doesn't have to follow it, right? But that realization comes eventually. Eventually, as we continue to practice over a period of time, we appreciate these pastimes of Krishna as it is, even without convincing ourselves that Krishna has to follow religious principles.
Okay.
Still, it is correct. In various ways, it is correct. It's different ways of seeing the same thing. It is correct. Yes, we are Krishna's expansion. The gopis, in that verse itself that we shared, Swa Anga, that is, I'll show you that verse, how Shukadev Goswami actually explains this. Shukadev Goswami explains, let me see that verse. He says he was only dancing with his own expansions. Husbands are expansions. That is one way of understanding. But Shukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, the gopis are itself his internal potency, his own expansions. So where is the harm in him dancing with expansions of his own internal potency? That is another explanation Shukadev Goswami is giving.
Yes, actually, we need to remember this, Mataji. Like all the souls are, they are small, minute forms of Krishna only. Like they're very as it is explained in Bhagavad Gita, that the soul is like a hundredth part of the tip of the hair. So that is what it is coming from Krishna only. So we need to remember that in our mind. Then correct. I don't think like these all feelings will come in our mind that why he should dance with the gopis and all.
Right. So any of these explanations are possible when we are trying to talk to newer devotees. Any of these is possible to attract them and to remove that doubt in their heart. Because if they have doubts, they may not take up so easily. So first we remove the doubt and then eventually we give them their time to kind of grow and understand Krishna better.
Yeah. Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Thanks a lot for clarifying all these doubts. Yeah.
Thank you, both of you, Matajis, Harita Mataji and Parima Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Do we have any questions for Mataji? I think, Mataji, there are no more Mataji. Questions. Yeah, please go ahead, Mataji.
It was such a wonderful, Mataji, to hear from you. Mataji, I had a question that you told about the previous life of Prahlad Maharaj. So, by chance, right now, like we are doing the Ekadashi. So, sometimes Ekadashi we are having on Wednesday, and in New Jersey time, it is having on Thursday. So, time is different. So is this the proper way to follow? Because we don't know that exactly what time is the Ekadashi. So we are doing the Ekadashi that is going according to, like we have to follow the Vaishnava calendar. But why it is different in different way? Like India is different, New Jersey is different, Texas is different, and Chicago is different. So why it is like that? And yeah. Second question is that, Mataji, that if some devotee or maybe non-devotee, they wanted to do just for the fitness point of view, and but they are doing following every 15 days. So are they going to get the Agya Sukriti also because they are doing just for the fitness but not for the religious purpose? So are they getting the benefits also, Mataji?
Yeah, good questions, Mataji. I'll try to answer them. And the first question is about why there is different time zones and, I mean, different timings, and sometimes even the days differ for the Ekadasi. The reason is because the Tithi meaning the date, okay, like you have Pratama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, like that you have Tithis, right? So one of the 11th day is called as Ekadashi. So the Tithi is calculated based on the longitude of the location, when the sunrise is happening and when the sunset is happening. Based on the longitude, the position, and the sunrise and the sunset, the Tithi of that area is calculated. So sometimes what happens is, in certain places, based on the longitude, the Tithi gets mixed, like Ekadashi and Dashami come together. It is said that during Mishra Ekadashi, when there is a mixing like this, one should not fast. The next day becomes suitable for fasting. So that is a rule put down by the calculators, or even the scriptures talk about it. One should not fast during mixed Tithis. So then the next day becomes suitable, and on Dwadashi, on the next day, when there is a little bit of Ekadashi remaining, that is when they actually fast. So like that, if the longitude is not matching, obviously the time of the sunrise and the sunset would be different. Like we can even practically see it, right? Like I am in West Coast. I am in PST time zone. And for me, sunrise is much later than all of you. I'm 3 hours behind all of you. So I'm 3 hours behind all of you. My longitude is different. My sunrise is different. So therefore, my Tithi also will change accordingly. Sometimes it will change, sometimes it will be the same. So 3 hours difference may not change much. Within US, sometimes it doesn't change much. But certain Tithis will get adjusted like that. So based on the Tithi only, the fasting happens. So there is nothing wrong. The Vaishnava calendar is so accurate. They have worked so well on it that they are giving you accurate location-based timings of sunrise, sunset, and based on that, they are calculating the Tithi and giving you. But you should do only on the time that is given according to the calendar. Because sometimes by mistake, if we do it on Mishra Ekadasi, then it is not good. The scriptures say so, that you should not fast on Mishra Ekadasi, like that. So that's why, Mataji, first thing is you have differences. That's why US comes before India many times. We have Ekadashi before India. So again, sunrise, sunset, and you know how the moon is traveling. They do all these calculations and they give us Tithi. The second question you asked was, I forgot, what was the second?
The question is that sometimes non-devoted, they do it just for a fitness purpose.
That is again Sukriti only. So they are also getting Sukriti. Krishna is so merciful, they are getting Sukriti. They will take up to devotional service in some way or the other in the future as they are doing Ekadashi, even unknowingly, even for the sake of fitness. Whatever it may be, see, why did this Prahlad, in his past life, he fasted? Because he was fighting with that lady that he was living with. So he was not doing it for Krishna Bhakti. He just did it. But as practicing devotees, we should only do it for Krishna Bhakti and not for some mundane benefit. If you're doing it for some mundane benefit, then we are not going to progress fast. We want to progress fast. We want to do everything only for the pleasure of the Lord. So unknowingly, if people are doing it, they are getting benefited, definitely. Definitely they're getting benefited. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yes, Mataji, you explained so nicely, because this question normally asked by our friends and we cannot able to answer that. Oh, today you are doing Ekadashi, we have tomorrow. So we can at least give an idea. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Karunika Mataji, you are very, very compassionate. Thank you so much.
No, Mataji, thank you so much.
Mataji, can you also explain the fast breaking times also, the reason why that is? Because that is not necessarily on a Dwadashi then. Like last Ekadashi also, where we had so much of confusion. And the following Ekadashi also is like that, where we have to fast on the Dwadashi day, like the Pandav Nirjala Ekadashi. So when we have to break the fast, it will be on the Trayodashi day, right?
Yeah, it'll be on the next day. Again, depending on the sunrise and sunset, there's some calculation after so many hours.
Okay, so it's not like we have to break the fast on Dwadashi, like regular.
That is not a rule. The next day after fasting only. There's no rule that only on Dwadashi you should break. If you have fasted on a clear Ekadashi, then you break on the Dwadashi. If you cannot fast on a Mishra Ekadashi and you fast on the concurrent day, that is the Dwadashi, which has a little paksha, meaning which has a little portion of the Ekadashi, then the Trayodashi day you break. The next day.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, Harita again. I have this question, Mataji. Like you told Sukriti. So I've been reading few Magamasa, you know, Mahimas and all, where people who will do austerities on that month or say on Kartik, on particular day. So there are so many pastimes like that. We have many pastimes. In that way, if we are doing something unknowingly and we are getting, say, moksha, or we are getting a better birth or some like a king or a queen or something like that. So that all things that are happening, was it only in the Satya Yuga or in the Dwapar Yuga or those yugas, or will that happen in the Kali Yuga also?
It will happen now also. That's the thing that... As soon as we give up our body, it depends. Supposing I am a very materialistic person, and by chance I've done something, I've fasted or I've done some austerity on a particular day, and I've attained a lot of piety. Then first I would probably, go to heavenly planet. I would enjoy, and then eventually I would take birth, and then I would come as someone great. And because I've done some sukriti, I'll get a higher birth and I'll come. It's applicable in all ages. Sometimes we don't see it happening in front of our eyes immediately, but sometimes it happens after some time. But it happens, yes. Like for example, the lady who was with Prahalad, she actually became an apsara and then she went back to Godhead. That's what it says.
Okay.
So it's a mixture of many things. Karma is so complicated, right? It's a mixture of our desires. It's a mixture of our sukriti. So many things are in game. So it plays out in different ways. Yeah,
like if we are doing a lot of austerities, but by unknowingly some sin has been happened, which is very big. So we need to like face the sin as well as the austerities, right? Yes, there is no way that we can escape it,
right?
Whatever it may be. Maybe for the sin what you have done, the punishment might decrease, but you need to get the punishment, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Are there any questions for Mataji? If not, then we can pay our obeisances to Mataji and end the call. So thank you so much, Priti Mataji, for again wonderful session. We are totally immersed in the session and question answers also, Mataji. So beautiful. And Mataji, do you have some time, Mataji? Just one question, Mataji.
Sure.
So Mataji, regarding taking the prasadam from the Vaishnava, so I had a question, Mataji. So if Mataji, we see here priests in the Indian temples here, Hindu temples, they do worship both Shiva and what we can say, Vishnu avatars also. Do perform these duties. So can we consider those pujaris as Vaishnavas, or how can we consider them?
Generally, in the US, the Hindu temples, they enshrine both Lord Shiva and other demigods, and they also enshrine Vishnu in the same in the same temple. But then if you see, the generally for Narayana or Vishnu worship, Vaishnava priests are hired. They are the ones who separately serve, generally. Generally, they don't mix. Generally, what I have seen, at least, I have not seen Smartha priest can worship Lord Vishnu, there is no harm. But what I'm telling is, generally in a temple, you see that there is a specific Vaishnava priest with a Vaishnava tilak serving the Vishnu or the Narayana form. You will not really see a Smartha priest coming and worshipping, because the it is a general understanding that definitely Vishnu wants Vaishnava priests to worship, and that's how it has been practiced. Did you see any Smartha priest worshipping?
Mataji, this means like we see in India, because we have separate Shiva temples, and these priests are separate in India, like Saivites are different and Vaishnava priests are different for both the temples. But when we come here in America, the same priest perform puja or the rituals to Lord Shiva, and at the same time to what we can say, Lord Krishna or Venkateswara Balaji, or like Vishnu avataras also, the same priest performs.
Okay.
Here in our place, they perform, the only one priest perform all these duties.
Oh, really? Okay, maybe that's the only priest available and he's performing all the duties.
There are two priests, Mataji, but the two priests perform, Mataji. One is Vaishnava and one is like Smartha, as you said, but they perform both the rituals to both the deities, Mataji. So at that time, can we consider this other priest who is performing the Lord Shiva rituals and the Vaishnava rituals, can we consider him as like Vaishnava, or how do we consider him?
First of all, what he considers is the question in hand. Does he consider everyone in the light of everyone as a representation of Brahman? Is everyone, if he's thinking in his heart, everyone is one, okay, in the Smartha principle of Advaita, if he's seeing everyone as one, then he has the Smartha understanding. So he's still a Smartha. If he's really a Vaishnava, if he really understands, it's not about us considering them, rather it's their own consideration or their own consciousness, how they are seeing the deity. Or if they have the clear understanding of, the actual difference, as well as in one sense, the respectful oneness, meaning like a Vaishnava would see Lord Shiva as an expansion of the Supreme Lord, like milk and yogurt, and he would respect Lord Shiva, but he wouldn't worship Lord Shiva in the sense as he would worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, right? It depends on the understanding that the person has. If we know the understanding that the person has, then we can see who that person is. So either way, in one sense, yes, it's a risk to judge. That is one way of seeing it. The other way is just avoid, because you don't know, right? So just avoid. Yeah, that is the other way to look at it. So it's up to you to decide. Because until we know the heart of the person, we really cannot comment. Yeah. And generally, even if the temple has both deities, a Vaishnava priest would definitely be assigned to worship Narayana. Generally. That's how it works, I've seen. But again, it could be different because of lack of resources. They could be doing it. That is possible. Then we don't know till you really inquire what is his understanding of the Lord. So till then, you don't know.
Okay, got it, Mataji. And why this question I got, Mataji, because if we want to give prasadam to him, so how can we consider as like a Vaishnava, like, or because he's doing deity worship to Balaji? So that's where my question is, Mataji.
If you want to give prasadam to him, you can give prasadam to everybody, right?
So, okay.
Doesn't matter if he's a Smartha, if he's a Mlecha, it doesn't matter, nothing matters.
Sorry. I kept my question in a different way, Mataji. Sorry. My question was, can we invite him and can we take his remnants as a Vaishnava? That was my question.
That is a risk. I would say it's a risk. Because Prabhupada, he always said that one should be very careful. Even listening to them is also a risk. According Mayavada Bhashya Sunilya Vish Sarvanash. So we should be careful. Because we have this knowledge, we have this background, we should exercise our scrutiny. So we should be careful. That is definite. Yeah.
Okay, got it, Mataji. Got it. And I got another question, Mataji. In course of listening, I forgot. Okay. I message you, Mataji, if I remember. Okay, so thank you so much, Mataji, once again for your very, very valuable and precious time and sparing us your time and giving all this enlightenment on all the topics, Mataji. Thank you so much. So with this, I would like to pay my obeisances to you and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindubhyaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai, Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Hari Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much.